latest episode of our Hustle Hard, Stay Humble podcast. We have a special guest today, John Lee. John Lee is an internationally renowned entrepreneur, investor, speaker, and mentor. Welcome, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah,
so I know you're traveling around the world all the time, going to stage to stage. Sometimes you get about 10,000 people watching on the stage, and with the likes of speaking with like Jay Shetty and Russell Brand and all them. So thanks for being here. You must be exhausted.
It is pretty tiring, I won't lie.
Yeah. How do you do it? Like every week you go to a different city, right? I think tomorrow you're heading back to UK and then you go to Amsterdam and then Singapore after for another seminar mastermind session. How do you do it? Like,
look, I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about something, it doesn't require energy to do it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it requires will sometimes, but it's the energy. Like when you enjoy doing something, it's kind of like when you get into that, what we call the, a flow time, right? Like you look at the time, oh my God, it's that time already. That means you're into the passion of what you do.
Right.
Like honestly, for me, the true question that people always ask is, John, why do you do what you do? And how do you find out what your real purpose is? And the true question is, are you willing to do the things that you don't do and not get paid for it? Or are you willing to do the things that you do and not get paid for it and still carry on doing it? Right, life, you know, for people watching, let's say everyone watching now has got $1 billion in their bank account right now. Would you be doing the same thing that you're doing? And if the answer is no, that's not your passion.
Really, yeah.
I mean, you'd probably still be doing what you do. I love what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So you're an amazing marketer, okay? And you have right now over 6 million followers across different platforms. Just Instagram alone, what I saw today is over 2.3 million. So how did you grow such a mass following?
It's all down to these three things: content, call to action, conversion. Mm. You see, when you're creating content, you have to create something what we call the WAV formula, WAV. Mm. So for example, when you're in the mastermind, I talked about creating content to basically make it your everyday. And that's what, for you, the reason why your company is successful in what you do is because you actually have an in-house marketing team and media team to do that. So you have to create things on a regular basis. So there's either content creation or there's documentation.
Yeah.
So if you just document what you do, straight away, people know that you exist.
Right.
Right. So when people see you, they feel you, they know you, they like you, they trust you, they do business with you. So for me, it's consistently putting out a message out there. And I don't care if I get one view or 10 views or a million views. What matters is who's watching that piece of content. It could be like, I'll give an example. Like the companies I've invested in, some of them that have become unicorns now, that's because someone heard me on social media. They saw a video. They heard me on a social audio. They read an article that I was published in. Right? Because awareness times attention equals income, Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you think about it.
Yes.
So people are not doing that. They're not creating the awareness. The best known beats the best.
You're absolutely right. I attended your 2-day session mastermind. It was incredible. Incredible. I've learned a lot. I picked up so many nuggets, and which we're going to talk about later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that I gained so much value and so much insight the last 2 days. And I met so many cool people.
Yeah.
Other like-minded entrepreneurs, business owners. And I like how it's an intimate session. It's about 30 people. So no, thank you for that. But I want to know, John, I want the audience to hear from you. Who is John Lee? Let's go deep down from the come up when you first started.
You and I have a similar upbringing.
Yes.
You know, we were just talking about it. Chinese takeaway as a dishwasher.
Yes.
I went to school, like I got a college degree. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very good at school.
Mm-hmm.
Became an animator. So I worked for companies, you know, like in the film industry, in the games industry. And for me, it's about, this is why I think we're very entrepreneurial, because when we get brought up in a Chinese takeaway, we start to get that hustle culture, that grit culture, that determination culture, right?
I'm right with you, brother. That's where we get our hustle from our upbringing, right? You can't beat restaurants day and night. We're talking about standing on your feet all night. You know, my parents taught me to hustle. They'll work every single day. And that's what I mean by hustling, with sacrifices, right? My parents sacrificed for us. I'm immigrating here like 20, 30 years ago, first generation. It's just hard work, right? Sacrifices. When it's Mother's Day, when it's Christmas, when everyone's celebrating, what are we doing?
Working.
We're working.
We're chopping mushrooms. We're peeling prawns. We're chopping, you know, onions.
I thought I was young when my parents made me wash dishes at 10 years old. I listened to your podcast. It was 7 years old for you. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, look at those days in that child labor.
I was so happy when my parents gave me $5 for the whole day.
Yeah.
I thought, this is great.
Yeah.
I got enough to buy candies and all that.
There you go.
But 10 years later, I'm still getting $5 a day from that. But no, but I'm so glad I had that upbringing because that's where I learned the hustle from. Yeah. So no, like marketing, right? I want to ask you. Yeah, I see a lot of other agents that's in your mastermind session, and you teach a lot of agents as part of your program. What do you see typically? Like, what is the biggest challenge for real estate agents?
Biggest challenge is knowing who that buyer is.
Right.
Like, they try and randomly find people, and they're not segmenting. So when you segment your audience, you know who to sell to. For example, if I want to sell to people that only buy properties over 10 million, it's a different market than anyone under 10 million, right? It's very different. It's a different message. So the issue that I find a lot of people do is they're putting out the wrong message. So we need to use the MMM strategy, though. Message, your market, which matches.
Ah.
Now, what a lot of agents do, they do message, market, mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting out, like, for example, how I would speak to a millennial is very different to how I would attract, you know, speak to a baby boomer.
Exactly.
Right? So baby boomer would be something like, and we gave an example on this. Are you equity rich? Are you equity rich, cash poor?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
That's going to grab the attention. Whereas if it's a Gen Z, for example, hey, you graduated from uni, you still living with your parents, you want to make a lot of money, but you don't want to work. It's a very different message,
yeah.
And the message attracts different people.
Yeah, that's what I find too, and that's one of the reasons why we created an in-house media team, because every agent looks the same. And it's like a sea of sameness. It's like that same general ad, you know, crossing all the arms. I'm the best, number one award. Hire me, guaranteed. So, but it's like there's no relatability.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, think about it. Any business, whether it's a $1 billion company or a $1 million company, is run by people.
Yeah.
And people like people. People are humans, mm-hmm. right? Oh, until AI comes. That's a different story.
We'll talk about that after too.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But it's just a connection.
True.
And I find a lot of people, they lose the connection. They lose the heart and soul of actually what business really means, and that is to connect and serve. We're never selling things; we're always serving. And people always say to me, "Oh, but John, I hate selling my stuff." I say, "Would you refer your stuff to a close family member? Of course you would. Then why wouldn't you talk about it? If you have a solution that's going to help other people, why would you not shout about it? To have a solution to someone's problem and to not share it is to be selfish."
Yeah. So you teach people how to utilize social media and marketing. What kind of advice do you have for our audience, for agents that, like you said, how to connect with the right audience, how to connect with potential buyers and sellers? Why choose you? Like, how do you utilize social media of that?
Well, everyone's got a story. Everyone's unique, right? Why people do things. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So when you're putting on message there, for example, I attract a lot of immigrants,
mm-hmm.
right? I attract a lot of, you know, Asian immigrants as well, because they can resonate with my story,
mm-hmm.
right? They can see my upbringing. So when you talk about the things that you talk about, it attracts your ideal audience. So for example, if I'm talking about a property specifically in Toronto, right? Or specifically in, you know, LA, I'm going to attract a specific audience. So you have to find out what is it that people want. So this is whole saying, give people what they want, sell them what they need.
Hmm.
That's what people miss out on.
Yeah. You know, it makes complete sense. Yeah, it's just kind of the saying goes, right? People hate to buy but love to be sold.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah. It's that same thing where they go to the shopping mall and then they don't want to be bothered. It's like, oh, can I help you or anything? Right? Just window shopping. I'm just looking around. But if you're good in sales, it's about asking what they need and what they need at that time. Asking questions.
Mm.
No point selling something that you don't need.
Well, it's always serving. You have to serve your market.
Exactly.
How are you going to serve it?
Exactly.
How are you going to make people's lives easier? How are you going to remove the friction? Anytime you move a point of friction, you make more money. Mm. Why? Because more efficient.
So you give a lot of good advice when it comes to generating leads and more business. When it comes to real estate agents, our biggest pitfall, even we generate the leads and we get all these different potential buyers and sellers in open houses, maybe like DMs from social media or calling our ads, we're terrible at follow-up. we're the worst at it, right? Like, we all want just quick money, you know, go, you're not buying something, next. Yeah. Or maybe one follow up and then give up.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have when it comes to systemizing the follow up? Because that's important.
Well, I'll tell you the problem, right? Agents, what do? They take on a listing,
yeah,
but they need to go out and take pictures, do a viewing, meet the people. That's why they have no time to follow up.
They wear multiple hats.
Like they're so busy. See, they're so busy working in the business, they don't have time to work on the business.
On the business.
So what do you need? You need systems in place.
Yeah.
CRMs, customer relationship management systems. You need retargeting capabilities. You need AI to be able to filter out and shift out all the wasted leads. Because it's true, there are a lot of people out there that just waste your time.
Yeah.
So then how do you get people to bubble up to the top and flow to the top? These are your buyers. So that's what we target. We have something called buyer marketing. We only target the buyers, not the flaky people.
Yeah, basically qualifying them.
Let me give you an example. Someone types in buy Lamborghini.
Right.
Versus buy Lamborghini Revuelto Performante.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Very different.
Someone knows the exact model that they want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone knows exact what they want to buy, that's what we call a long tail keyword. Long tail keyword means that I know specifically what I want. If I type in, you know, when I was looking for cameras, like, okay, Sony camera, right? Or bless vlogging camera. But then when I look at the GX7, that at the time was one of the best.
Yeah.
Right? So I specifically typed that in because I know what the model is. So actually words have weight. If I say to you the word fish, scale of 1 to 10, how's it make you feel? 10 meaning, oh, I feel something. 1, I don't really feel anything. Fish.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, what score would you give it?
Probably low score.
Like, what?
Out of 3, 4. 3. Yeah.
I say the word shark to you.
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10?
6.
Right. Yeah. It's higher, right?
It's higher, yeah.
So everything you say, everything you put, everything you post, every word you write has a weight, and weights have feeling.
Yeah. And nowadays, we utilize AI for that. Even if you're too busy or you don't know how to write the content or the copy. Yeah. Any good AI apps or software they recommend specifically for realtors, real estate industry?
Yeah, so you've got one like Home Design, for example.
Yep.
I can take a picture of any room and basically furnish it with furniture, right? You know how interior designers, they can take one space. Like, I have a property in central London, Zone 1.
Right.
And that rents for $1,000 a week. But other ones around it don't rent as high as that. Why? Because I got an ID to go in to be able to basically make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, and they pay up front. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the key here is that if you can make something look nice and beautiful, it'll rent and it'll sell.
Oh, yeah.
But then how do you know what sells? So the problem when you take a picture of a space that is hard to, like, you know, when I walk into a piece of real estate, I want to know how I'm going to make this better. So I look up at the ceiling, I can see the floor plan. Right? But when you're looking, like, you can't really see anything. You can't,
right.
Really, it's hard to imagine
the layout.
Where your sofa's going to be. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes when you go to those, you know, you go shopping for a TV,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, I want that TV. And in the store, it looks really small. When you bring it home, it's massive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's relativity. There's no comparison.
Right.
So when people are putting things out there, I see that they are not using relativity in marketing.
Hmm. Any advice when it comes to that? You want to expand on the relativity? Like, any advice?
Yeah, so for example,
how can we utilize that?
Well, for example, let's take that AI example, okay. Right? So if I can take any space and furniture any way I want, and I put it out there, but no one clicks on it, but I change it again, and then people click on it, right?
Yeah.
But then when they get the click, now they can see all the other deals. Now they contact the agent. Now the agent's got a viewing. So you have your marketing, you have your completion or your signing, but the thing that happens in the middle is your viewing.
Yeah.
Right?
Now a lot of agents utilizing virtual staging.
Yeah.
That helps a lot too. Now you know how to figure out the logistics to bring your own furniture and pay top dollar for these stagers. You can just virtual staging. Put the virtual staging on the picture.
There you go.
Yeah. So one of the biggest challenge for agents too when it comes to portraying their value, because house is a high ticket item.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot of commission involved. And right now, specifically in the Toronto market, there's a lot of, you know, what we call discount agents. Because it's so competitive. There's 80,000 licensed agents, and especially the newer agents. The only way for them to win the business, because they don't have experience, like or they haven't sold many homes, or maybe they don't have the know-how or skill to get full commission. So they have no other choice but to lower the commission. I've been there too. When I started, I get it. So what are some advice for the premium agents to portray their value compared to discount agents. Because a lot of times right now, especially in the rough, you know, it's a rough economy right now, every seller, you know, every penny counts. So even though you have a knockout listing presentation and why you explain the services, why your better services, better, more value from a premium agent, they still go choose the discount agent. Or maybe they choose, you know what, I choose my uncle or best friend, you know, they've been bugging me and nagging me, and sorry, I choose them. Like any way, because you teach this in your mastermind sessions and your marketing classes, like what are some ways that premium agents can portray the value?
It's not even about just premium agents. Like, yeah. Look at any business.
Right.
Why do you go to certain restaurants? Like, we just had some good Chinese food now.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Okay, why did you order that good Chinese? Why did you order that Chinese food from that specific place?
It's busy. There's a lot of people. Like, right. And it's just automatically, like, when you see someone's busy, psychologically, it must be good.
Right, so that's positioning, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So if it doesn't matter if it's a premium agent or discount agent, if that agent is busy, right, or the perception is that they're busy, then it has high value, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two is, it's when you price, if you do things based on price, there's this saying, price is what you pay, value is what you get. Price is what you pay, value is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come to me and say, oh, John, like, can you coach and mentor me? Like, can you help me? I said, well, I don't know. I need to ask you a few questions first. I need to sit down with you. I need to have a session with you. I need to ask you specific questions. I need to know what your revenue is. I need to know what your marketing strategy is. I want to know your team. Da, 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 da. So I basically ask all these questions to make an informed decision.
Right.
So the challenge with a lot of people is they're trying to do what everybody else is doing.
Yes.
And if you do what everyone else is doing, you'll get what everyone else gets. Right? So I always say, what is the problem that you can uniquely... So I can look at any business model. In 5 minutes, I'll show you how to 10 times the income.
Hmm.
20 years of experience. So there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, a friend of mine, John Davey, he told me this. He said, John, do you know what it is? I said, what? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put tomato in a fruit salad.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there are different types of wisdom.
Yes.
You've got wisdom that's learned, but you also have experiential wisdom.
Hmm.
So you know that if you, for example, one thing that people can do, like, do you know just a lick of paint on a house, how much more desire it builds to buy the property? Just mowing the lawn, changing the front door, little things like that. Putting in things that are white to make the space look big, opening the curtains, little things like that,
mm-hmm.
that make the desirability of the property. And you know all these little things.
Yeah.
So when you shoot the video, how you shoot it, you might be sitting there with your coffee, you're presenting, right? People can see themselves in that situation. You heard the story of when you list houses, you make some coffee and you have some bread and it's got that bread home smell, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are all the factors. These are the secret recipes. These are what we call the nuances within your, like, everyone can drive a car,
yeah.
right? Well, not everyone, but people know how to drive a car. But can you drive a car like Lewis Hamilton?
No.
Everyone knows how to pick a stock.
Yeah.
But do you know how to pick a stock like Warren Buffett?
Right.
Everyone knows how to list a house. But do you know how to list a house like house?
I love that.
Right? So
the play on words. Love it.
So to differentiate yourself means you need to stand out. And what you do, you find your unique selling proposition.
Yeah.
Right? So USP. What can you uniquely offer that no one else can?
That's a good segue, because we're just talking about how to show your value, right? Mm. Showing your wisdom and knowledge. And that's one thing that really hit home at your mastermind session when I was listening to you. Is like one of the audience was asking about how to kind of like portray your value or how to show your expertise.
Mm.
And you use one key word that really, really relate to me, demonstrate.
Mm.
And that's what we do at houses. Like, that's the reason why I create this long format videos, because it literally shows that we're demonstrating how our knowledge and expertise when it comes to selling a client's property. And everybody can see that from the first second to the ending, we go all out when it comes to demonstrating of how, and it's no different when you meet us in person too.
Mm.
And I think that's one thing that's key when it comes to social media.
But it's all positioning.
Right.
Right. For example, there's an entrepreneur called Asael.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to sell a black pearl. So I tried to sell it for thousands of dollars, couldn't sell it. So what does he do? He takes an ad and he puts it right beside the Tiffany ring.
Mm.
So now people go, oh, the Tiffany ring's thousands of dollars, but the pearl's only like $2,000 below it. It must be cheap.
Yeah.
Right? It must be around that value. But on its own, it's not worth anything. I was just in an event right now. So there's a violin player who, you know, on that, he does a test. He takes himself and he puts himself into the subway, starts playing the violin, right? People come past and start giving like $1, $2, $3. The same night, he plays in a concert, 4,000 people, $3,000 a ticket. So why am I telling this story? It's all about position.
Positioning.
Right? Well, your environment determines your value.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to buy a Lamborghini in a backstreet, you know, garage.
No.
Right? If you ever go to Lamborghini or Ferrari or one of the supercar dealers,
yeah,
you know, you got models walking around. They're all very good looking. They got suits on. They're in shape. The cars are all waxed. Like, it's in an expensive environment. You need to position it that way. So when you position a house, like a really nice house in a basic looking website, people might have preconceived ideas.
Right.
Right? But if you put that house and you advertise in the luxury magazines, it gets traction.
Hmm. That's good insight. That's very good insight. John, all agents want either more money or more time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the best way to achieve those two things?
More time is about systems. Everyone tries to do things by themselves all the time. Right? The saying is, oh, I can do that better myself. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can close more deals than you. You probably could if you did it yourself. But let's say one person can close 1 in 10 deals. But if I have 1,000 people underneath me that can only do 10% what I can do, they can outsell maybe 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
So they need a mindset shift. That's number one. Number two is they've got to be in a position, if you want to make more money, then it's doing three ways to grow your business. More leads, more sales, more systems. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to make more money, they need to either deal with properties which are high value because they get more commission, or you do volume. So you can either decide on volume, quantity, or quality.
But for like the solo agents out there, or maybe you can be a top producer, or maybe just starting, and yes, what you say is true. To leverage time, you got to systemize a business. So what do you think is the first step you should do then? To hire an assistant, or
no.
How do you build a system?
First person you need to hire is a chief strategy officer. Okay. Not a PA, not an admin, not a manager.
A CSO.
Chief strategy officer.
Right.
Why? Because now the strategy that's built on that company to make it grow makes a big difference. So for example, every role in that company should really be systemized, meaning SOP'd, standard operating procedure. In fact, you could take all the things that they do, put it into an AI, and have that AI roll that thing out for them.
Mm.
So you create a knowledge base. AI is now taking over a lot of jobs now. I have one of my students, her only job when she works for a bank is to figure out how to replace that person's job with AI.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's already happening.
Yeah, I see that, yeah. For real estate specifically, AI, do you see it will overtake our industry?
It will to an extent.
Right.
You know, now they've got, you can take any piece of real estate now, project the floor plan onto a wall, and people don't even have to go to the property to look at it now. They can actually get the first initial floor plan. Because you know sometimes you see a floor plan, this room is 24 by 28 and 5 by 16. You don't really get the sense of how big it is. But now they project it onto a floor. Now you've got the walk around of the house.
Wow. Right?
So AI can do things like to assist. I don't think it's going to completely do it, but it's going to do 80% or 90% of the process, and the agent just comes in and closes.
Yeah. Wow. So John, I don't think we talked enough about your previous, like what your background. You actually started flipping homes and investing in homes.
Yes.
That's where you made your first millions.
Yeah.
Can you share more about that? Like how did you get into that, and what was your first million?
So I attended all these seminars.
Yeah.
This guy called Ranjan Bhattacharya. And he stands on stage, he says, you know, you can buy property below market. I know, come on. Like, if it was that cheap, why isn't everyone doing this?
Right.
Right? So I took the advice, I invested myself, and then I just started sourcing these deals. He's taught me the strategy. You need to buy a property below its market value. Always make money when you buy,
mm-hmm.
not when you sell.
Mm.
So the more I started to do that, the more deals I started to get, but I wasn't closing them. I was getting a lot of leads, but I wasn't closing them.
Okay.
And I couldn't understand why.
Yeah.
So then I paid this guy £10,000 for 2 days of his time to teach me. And he said to me that when you want to buy a property, the person has to meet these three criteria. Mm-hmm. Motivation, time, capacity. If all these three things are present, that deal is below market value. I thought, interesting. So that became my target, to target all these types of deals.
Mm.
Found my first deal in a place called Aldershot. And this property's on the market for $185,000. So seller calls us, we have a conversation, and I used a script that I was provided. And one of the questions is, would you be willing to sell me your property below its market value if we can complete the deal in 28 days? Right? Mm. Most of them were saying no, but this one said yes.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, interesting.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah, it's a numbers game.
You found one, yeah.
Yeah. So then, okay, well, how much do you want to offer it? Well, I'll buy it for $85,000. right? Because they've always been told to make, you know, a big enough offer. And at the time I was like, you know, no one's going to accept this. So let's just try it. She said yes.
Wow. You never know unless you try.
I was like,
yeah.
And then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, well, I don't have £85,000. So what did I do?
How did you get it?
Find investors.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I found an investor to give me $85,000.
Yeah.
I used that $85,000 to buy that property. And then I refinanced that property and with over, I think it was about just a little bit over $100,000. I got the $85,000, paid back the investor. The rest I kept to renovate the house. And 2 months later, I sold for $185,000.
Wow.
That became my seed capital to build all my business I have right now.
Ah, okay, okay. So you really hustled for your first real estate deal. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But what I learned was that you don't need money to, you know, one of the most, I'm going to give you guys a $10,000 lesson here, right? Listen to this. I always thought that you need money to buy property. The fact is you don't.
Yeah.
And my mentor said to me, he said, John, when you find the deal, the money will find you.
Hmm.
Like if I said to you right now, I've got a deal in Toronto. It's on the market for $2 million. I've just been offered it for $1 million. Would you be interested?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's $1 million worth of equity in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So actually, it's not the goal to go and find money. The goal is to find the deals.
To find a deal.
And that's how I started learning about marketing.
Oh. So you could have had made lots of money in real estate.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go into mentorship and coach other people for them to succeed? Like what made you do that?
Yes.
I'm really interested.
Okay. This is really, really good. So when I started buying all these properties, people ask me questions. So right. John, learn, you know, how do you invest in property? How do you invest? And I'd sit down with them like this and say, okay, you do it this way, you do it that way, you do it this way.
Yeah.
And then they would get deals from it. Then they would tell a friend. So who'd you learn from? John Lee. Go and see John Lee. Here's his number. So I get a phone call, right? And I'll teach them again. And then, of course, all over time, I'd be spending more time doing these phone calls and meetings than actually do my own deals.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
So then what happens?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I'll just get a piece of paper
right.
And all the questions that you're going to ask me, I'm just going to write down all the questions, right? And so people would come to me and say, John, you just mentored Raymond. Like, can you mentor me as well?
Right.
Nah, I don't have time. Read this report, right? It's got all the frequently asked questions that you're about to ask me. How do you do deals? How do you finance deals? How do you do blah, 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 right? So guess what? This thing that I start giving to people start reading it and sharing it, right? Mm-hmm. One day I get a phone call from a guy called Steve Foley.
Okay.
And he says, John, I read your report. I think it's fascinating. Would you come do a talk at my event in Manchester? I'm like, Steve, I'm not a speaker, right? No, really, I'm not. He said, no, just come along, bring your report. So I show up there. There's like six people there. So I just take out the report. I start reading and, you know, they start getting value. 2 weeks later, I get another phone call from a guy called Just Want Ryan. He runs one of the biggest property networking events. At the time, I didn't know this. So he calls me, hey, John, I just heard you spoke at Steve's event. Could you come speak at my event? I'm like, yeah, okay, the other one was pretty easy, so let's come. So I show up there, the car park's full.
Wow.
So my mind was like, oh, there must be a wedding on here or something. So I go,
it's all for you.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So I go into the reception and say, where's the event? Oh, it's over there. I said, what, where the wedding is? No, that's the event. And that's when I start to panic. So
because you weren't ready for that.
I wasn't ready for that. I went from 6 to 250 people. So this is how he introduced me. Hey, John, we got an incredible speaker. We've got John Lee come all the way, like a flown overseas to be there, right? And then when he introduced me, everyone's like, yeah. I'm like, so I start to freeze for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know when your hands get really sweaty? And
yes. Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Really dry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just take out my report and I just start reading. How to negotiate with motivated sellers. I just start reading.
Right.
Do you know after that? All these people would come up to me afterwards and say, oh, John, I was really good. It was amazing. That was amazing. And this guy taps me on the shoulder right as I'm about to leave. And he says, oh, John, I was wondering, how much is your report? I said, I don't know. I'm £47. The guy takes his wallet out, gives me £50 to keep the change.
Oh, wow.
That's when I knew.
That's when
this,
you knew.
Moment.
Aha moment, yeah.
I had this epiphany. I'm like, oh, my God. People actually like and learn this stuff.
Right.
So the more of these I started to sell, the more people would come to me and ask me about deals. And the more speaking engagements I would get, the more social media I would get, the more awareness I would get, the more branding I would get, the more invitations I would get to be on panels and TV shows and things like that and interviews. The more of that I got, the more people started ringing my office and say, John, I've got this deal. I read your report. One thing says you'll negotiate deals. Can you do it for me? Yeah. So I became the deal closer.
Yeah.
I used to have this URL called dealcloser.com. I wish I had held onto that.
That's a great URL,
right?
Man.
Back then, I actually owned it.
Yeah.
Right? So people would call me up and I would charge them 1% for every deal that I closed.
Okay.
So if I close a deal for like, you know, 100,000, I get 1,000 for that. And that became my business of doing it. And what I realized is the more of the speaking I do, the more of deals that I get. And then the more investment I get, the more joint venture partners I get. You have a deal. In fact, that deal with the one in Aldershot, that was because someone was sat next to me. Her name was Julia McDade.
Mm.
Right? She gave me my first deal and many more after that. So the more I spoke, the more deals I got. So actually what I realized is, oh my God, speaking is a really powerful tool to have. Every time I speak now, before I come here, I just picked up 8 companies.
Right. Right.
It's like, how does that work?
Yeah.
It's leverage. So you ask me why I do what I do, and by the way, I still do property, but I do it in an indirect way.
Yeah.
So if I can scale that up, people say to me, John, I want a deal in London. Sure. How much are you going to put into it? So now people say they'll put the money in. I find the deal. They finance it all. They buy it cash.
Yeah. Now you're getting more opportunities, right?
Exactly.
Opportunities everywhere.
Yeah. Like if you put your million into that piece of real estate and I'm renting that property out, it's all pure cash flow. Right? And what's the deal? I'll manage everything. I'll find the deal. You put the money in. We do 50-50. So I'm making money from your money.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about it like this. So the key here is, and why I do more of this now than the actual real estate, is because this feeds into the real estate. Business creates cash flow. Cash flow invested creates wealth.
And I can feel it from the energy, the passion that you have, because you... I can tell you legit want to help people.
Yeah.
Right. I can feel the energy when I went to the mastermind session. Everyone's so appreciative of you. You have this amazing Bali getaway too, a 3-day learning session. And you travel around the world now to teach people how to scale and grow their business.
Well, it's actually the real reason I do it is build a global network.
Yes.
Like if I want to do business in Australia now, I've already got 100 people there already that I can start business with.
Mm.
I just came up from South Africa, Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another 2,000-3,000 people there that I can do business with. Right, I fly around.
And now
the
you're
world.
In Toronto, you do business with us.
Well, we reached that conversation.
We just had, yes.
Right? I asked you about your business model. Yeah. You said it's this. Yeah. Okay, let's get it from this and 20 times it.
Yeah.
And when I gave you the strategy, it made sense, right?
Made sense.
You see? So now that's you can add that as a 9th business now.
There you go. That's amazing, man. Okay, so I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When it comes to motivation, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you're an amazing speaker, but you're only human. Right, so how do you continue? Like, I want to know, because you're a family man as well, and you travel around the world. There must be like days that's just like absolutely nuts, right? You got to burn out fires burn out, and like there's always things happening. How do you maintain some kind of sanity, and when it comes to your team as well, like how do you maintain that?
Tell you, my team work the hardest.
Yeah,
like. It comes from, I just saw all of your core values in your office. One of our core values is we do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Love it.
Our team don't work from 9 to 5. I set you a task. You got the task done. Is it done? No. Keep doing it. Right? And they love it.
Mm.
And obviously, like, if you know, like my editor just messaged me, oh, I'm not feeling well today. Take the day off.
Of course.
Right? So, like, we do whatever it takes. That is my number one core value.
Mm.
And I believe it. And it's instilled inside me, and everything I do, like we do whatever it takes. Like, what does it take to get that done? So for me, I do get tired.
Yeah.
But it's like, then people talk about work-life balance. Yeah. I actually don't believe in that.
Me too.
Right? Work-life integration is where we need to be, right? We integrate the things around our life that we want to do. So then we got to make time for things. You see, time is something very finite that you and I have very limited of. But where we choose to use it, where we choose to put it, that is where the magic happens. So actually everything that you do within that thing that you do, you make it the best that it is than what it can be. Then it becomes, now you're not just, you know, you're not just existing in life, you're living in life.
Mm.
Right? And that's the thing. Are you, like, I ask people a question, very simple question, what do you want? And they tell me, or they can't tell me, or they think about it, or they go, I actually don't know. If you wake up in the morning, this is Steve Quotes job. He says, if you wake up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror, and every day you keep telling yourself, you're not happy, not happy, not happy, something's got to change.
Hmm.
What's the point in living life without purpose?
Yeah.
Right? Living a purposeful life is doing the things that you want to do that fires you up. Like for me, I love impacting people. Why? Because I know people's potential can be way more than what it actually is. So if I can unlock that and unleash it, then my job is done.
Yeah.
Like when you leave this planet, you got to ask yourself a question. Did I do what I was set out to do? And if I leave this planet now, am I happy? Yes. Because for me, it's like, do you know the true meaning of a millionaire and billionaire?
The actual
true meaning of it?
No.
It's not having $1 billion and $1 million in your bank. It's the lives that you've impacted, the millions of lives that you've impacted and the billions of lives that you've impacted. Because when we leave this planet, there might be a few short days, weeks, months that people remember you. But honestly, people get busy.
Yeah.
People's lives, you know, life takes over. Then what do you leave behind?
Right. You can't take those millions with you. Yeah. You can't take those materials, those Bugattis, those fancy things with you.
Right. But if you can impact a billion lives, imagine what they can do with the people around them.
Yeah. It's the memories.
There you go.
Yeah. So we typically end our podcast, John, with asking our guests, what's your favorite quote or mantra that you like to live by?
I kind of talked about, I've got a lot of them.
Yeah. I was in a seminar and you shared a lot already.
Yeah. I have so many, but honestly, like the one I just mentioned, like, you know, do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Right. But there's a second part of that.
Mm.
Do whatever it takes, even when times get tough. Right. Show me who you are when you're in real shit.
Yeah.
Show me who you are when you're extremely under pressure. That's the person you are.
Mm.
So for me, it's always like when the student is ready, the master will show. Right. And you've got to become the ultimate student. When you think you know everything, you know nothing. You know, some of our meetings that we have these masterminds. Sometimes, like, if we know there's going to be, like, big people there with, like, massive egos, just put a sign up at the door. Leave your ego at the door. We're all here to learn.
Very important. Stay humble.
Stay humble. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Because how can you learn something if you think you've already known it?
Mm.
And even if you know it, but you don't do it, how do you know it?
What's the point of being here, right? He's learning from you. Like,
everything's learning. Learn before you earn. L-E-A-R-N. Take off the L. What does it spell?
Earn.
Earn. So you must always be investing in yourself, learning, curious, right? Always trying new things out, testing things out, failing fast, failing forward, right? Understanding the process. When you have that true eagerness to learn, do you know what? I've got a lot of friends who are billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know one thing I noticed that's common out of all of them? They ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, because they're always curious.
They always want to know. They always want to learn.
Yeah.
Right? So that is the thing. It's always be learning.
Mm.
Right, and leave people with more value than you found them with.
I love that. Last question: was there one book that you owe to, like, that you learned a lot that you owe your success in your business from? Was there one book?
This is so hard. I literally, if people go to like johnlee.com/resources, you'll see all my link to all the books that I've read.
Okay,
right, but it's not one book, but it's the category actually.
Okay,
so try not to read tactical books. Instead, try and read biography books.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, one of the ones, Steve Jobs' autobiography.
Yep.
Right? So when I read that book, I was in tears. You know, there's a point when he's on his deathbed, he knows he's going to die.
Yeah.
And he's still working on the iPhone 6.
Crazy.
I'm like,
I know.
Like, most people would not be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would be spending time with their family. And then as he was writing the book, he wrote that book on his deathbed because he wanted his kids to know why daddy worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he wanted to change the world. And make a dent on the universe.
Yep. Purpose. Yeah. Even at his deathbed. Yeah. It's crazy.
And that's why I love to watch documentaries. I love to watch autobiographies of people's lives because I want to see the ups and downs and how they overcome it. Because it's a mindset shift.
Oh, yeah.
It's learning to think like them.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things I got from Warren Buffett from watching one of the documentaries, so easy, right? Like, do you know why he's a billionaire? Because he knows how to invest in companies with economies of scale.
Yeah.
Meaning, Coca-Cola is one of them. Coca-Cola sells 1.2 billion cans a day. If Coca-Cola raises its price by a penny, it makes millions extra per day. And we know in the stock market, the fundamentals of a company that makes more money increases share price. So when we understand that fundamental and foundation, then every business decision and investment we make is now more profitable from one documentary.
Yeah, I love to read autobiographies too. You learn so much more better, and that's so true. That's great input. John, thank you so much for being here. Sharing your insights and your knowledge. I sure learned a lot. For your audience that wants to follow John, what's the best place to follow you and find you?
Any social media platform, they can go to johnlee.com.
Johnlee.com?
That's another story as well, how I even got that name.
That's crazy how you managed to get that URL.
It took me 27 years to get that name.
Oh, wow.
Do you know how many searches are for John and Lee? It's a very common name, isn't it?
Very common.
4.2 billion search results. for John and Lee. And I managed to get johnlee.com.
How did you manage to snatch it then?
Oh my God, maybe we need to do a part two.
Okay, okay, that's for our part two, John Lee, episode two on our Hustle Hard, Stay Humble podcast. Anyways, thanks for coming, brother.
Appreciate it.
All right.